Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now, won't you tell me now? Oh, fire!
pictures.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We thank God once again for the 14th day of June 2021. Seemed like I was just saying the 14th day of May 2021. Seemed like it was just yesterday. I remember that month so well on that day because it's one of my favorite nephew's birthday. And so I just thank God for the 14th day of June and thanking God for each and every one of you being here and allowing us to be a blessing to you. And I hope we get an opportunity to be able to receive a blessing from someone in our listening audience to come forward tonight and be able to speak a word or be able to ask a question, just to be able to encourage another one of our listening audience. So we know if the Holy Spirit moves on you, tugs at you, and desires for you to speak as we go through the lesson tonight, as we in particularly recognize, know, and understand the importance of everything that we do in life, and we must continue to understand and know that God's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives, and He definitely wants to prosper us and not to bring us harm, but it's up to us if we want to receive it and do the things that we need to do to have great success. My name is Tammy Storr. I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, and we just thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for your presence tonight. We pray that God continue to allow you to have nothing but the ability to do great things in this life, and we just pray that tonight is no different, that as you come expecting that you definitely will receive, and we just come declaring and decreeing by the name of Jesus that everything that will be spoken on tonight as it relates to relationships and as it relates to understanding how oneness can make a difference in peace in your household, that's when you would want to definitely make sure that you are in the midst tonight to hear what is being said. All of us desire and want peace that surpasses all understanding to be a part of our daily life. And there are some little nuggets that we would like to share with you tonight. I want to just thank God for that awesome, wonderful man of mine that had an opportunity to celebrate his birthday over the weekend. We had such a nice, relaxing weekend, just the two of us. And thanking God that had an opportunity just to relax a little bit and enjoy each other. And so once again, Jesse, enjoyed you and thank God for another year that he blessed you with. 68 looks good on you. And so I just want to just thank you all for being a part of the number as we come together and as we pray and usher the Holy Spirit in. We understand and know that we're two or more gathered together. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus, that we know our Lord and Savior will be in the midst. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we come collectively calling upon your mighty name, declaring and decreeing that you will be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch on this evening. I thank you on tonight, Lord God, that you have ordered the steps of every individual that's under the sound of my voice, and there's others that you're tugging on for them to call in tonight because there's a word in season for them to receive. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that they will take down any barriers and they will be able to accept you in and allow you an opportunity to be ministered to, allow them an opportunity to be ministered to through us from you, Lord God. And I just pray that tonight, Lord God, wherever there is, Father God, no peace in the household, in the workplace, with the children, in anything, in any relationship that might be about, I pray and I declare and decree that there will be peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that you give, Lord God, not peace that the world tries to give out. And I just pray that we all come to have a better understanding of the things that we can do to help develop that thing we call peace. And I pray tonight, Father, that as we go through this session, this lesson, that you will give us all a better understanding. Help us all, Father God, be better individuals. Let us let our light shine bright for others to see the good in us. And let us come against any bad that tries to come out of us. For we know, Lord God, that we're human beings, that there's things that happen, things we say, things we do that are not of your liking. And we just thank you for being such a forgiving God. But as you forgive us, Lord God, so quick, and to forget everything that we've done once we've asked for forgiveness, and you throw it as far as the east is from the west, you throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, let us have that same spirit upon us. Let us do the things that we need to do, Lord God, to be able to show our love one to another with the individuals that we see on a regular basis. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would be in the midst of every spoken word that flows from my husband's mouth, that it will be, Father God, sent out into the ear gates and the hearts of all of those under the sound of his voice. I pray that you refuel him a thousandfold. And I thank you once again for his dedication, for his commitment, that he wants to continue to serve your people in a mighty way. And so as he continues to do that, and I continue to be there by his side, Lord God, as his helpmate, I pray that you continue to bless this union that you put together. I pray that you continue to bless every union under the sound of my voice that you have brought together in holy matrimony. And then there's others that you're looking to bring together in holy matrimony, as well as those that don't even know that they're about to be, Father God, asked to be engaged. Bless them as well. And just give us all the ability, Lord God, to anything and everything that we desire and want, that we lean and depend on you, that we ask you, we trust, we believe, and through faith that it will be done. I thank you once again for the privilege to pray. Be with us all until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, all right, one more time, let everybody say amen. We praise God and we thank God for this special evening, this Monday, June 14, 2021. We praise God for having an opportunity to visit with you once again. This is a special week. This is a special month. This is a month when God allowed me to enter into this realm. So we thank God. This is a month that my twin by birthday, Debbie Hardiman, entered into this realm. And this is a day that all of us can learn something from. So we praise God and thank God for my queen. I thank God for having an opportunity just to get together and fellowship and to reminisce and to think about the future over the course of this past weekend. It's a beautiful thing when we can take time out of our busy schedules and simply sit down and have conversation. How many of us seems to have forgotten about the benefits of simply just having a conversation? We sometimes take it for granted But we live in a world where every attempt is being made to reduce the opportunity for conversation. See, whether we believe it or not, conversation is the gateway to peace. Conversation is what's required and what's necessary. Because, see, it's based on the foundation of communication. And one thing we've learned, if we can be skilled in the art of communication, there's a great benefit that we can receive. Too often, we fail to even think that communication in and of itself may be the gateway that we need, the only thing we need to find success and prosperity at the end of the rainbow. See, sometimes we don't think in terms of our relationships as being a rainbow reality. But in fact, it really is. Because, see, in our relationship, we are able to extract the very best of all that God created. And whether we believe it or not, the ability to have peace and to live in peace is something far beyond the comprehension for most of us. See, peace in and of itself is a freedom from disturbance. It is a state of tranquility. It's a state of period in which there is no war or war has ended. Yet we know and understand in the spiritual realm that there is no such thing as peace. We will always have enmity. We will always be at extreme hostility against somebody or against some force. And so when we decide that we want to come together in a relationship of oneness, the power of oneness itself enables peace to take place. Because when we are committed to a concept of oneness, we will not allow peace to die on us. We will do everything we can to experience peace, because we've come to know and to understand that when we have peace, we have power. See, there is no power when we are not at peace. When we're at peace, we're in an unpredictable situation. And I know one of the few shows that I ever watch on television, there are shows most of the time about people who had an inability to execute in a peaceful manner. People who lost it. They didn't have the ability to execute goodness or kindness. So instead of executing that, they exploded with hatred, with animosity, with just an unbelievable commitment to dysfunction. And so tonight, we hope if we get anything accomplished, we can just strictly say that oneness is the foundation, and oneness is about peace. And when you have oneness, it will ultimately give you peace. Someone may ask the question, how could that be? See, that's the problem we have today. Most of us, when we hear a statement or a comment, we don't believe it. And right there, we create the possibility that we never will be able to receive and understand what it means. Because if you walk around and you never believe that something can be achieved, you're correct. Because, see, God and the creator of the universe is never going to superimpose or force you to believe anything. It's just not part of the equation. See, what we have to learn and what we have to begin to understand is that we are responsible for so many of the realities that take place in our lives. We can't look to blame others, even though we live in a world and we live in a nation where we are truly justified in identifying and in saying, because of this system that has been overlaid into our reality that we perhaps should always be in a state of war. See, what we have to learn and understand, we are always in a state of war. But it's not war like some of us may imagine. When we use a word like war, too often we think in terms of weaponry. We think in terms of nations, perhaps. We think in terms of continents, perhaps. But in reality, we are at war each and every day. And the war that we deal with most is the war within ourselves. See, constantly, we're at battle. When one part of us wants to handle a situation a certain way, and another more righteous part of us is looking for a way to handle it differently. See, war, as Marvin Gaye would say so often, what is it good for? And he said, absolutely nothing. Think about in your own relationship, what is the benefit you achieve when you are constantly bickering, when there is constant disagreement? Do you really achieve anything? Now, I don't mean when you're having productive mental stimulation and challenge, when based on how you may see a particular thing, based on your own life experiences, you have a different perspective. And in that different perspective, you want to do everything you can to make sure your spouse may understand why you may see certain things differently. That's productive and positive. Because when you come together as a couple, you are supposed to find a way to challenge each other. Find a way to grow together. Now, we know oneness itself is predicated on the premise that a man and a woman have come together in a relationship, a sacred relationship, where they both have committed themselves to a level of fidelity that the world does not understand. We live in a world today where many and most have no clue what it means to be in oneness. And at the same time, we also live in a world that has become so used to violence that the very conversation of peace seems to be an illusion. And think about it. During the course of this year, we have witnessed an increase in violence and specifically in murders. And unfortunately, what we see manifesting in the streets of America and around the world is a reality indicative of what is occurring in our own homes. During the course of this last year plus 4 or 5 months, we have been governed by the dictates of the pandemic. And in that pandemic, we know a couple of things hold true. There have been a lot of babies born because a lot of times when you're sheltering in place, there's an activity that men and women enjoy where the end result is procreation and new babies. That's a reality. And on the other side of that coin, though, in a more negative and adverse reality, is the fact that abuse, spousal abuse, children abuse is also on the increase. And so we've got to come to grips, because what we see manifesting in the streets of America and around the world is knocking at everybody's door this moment. And see, God provides special consideration for men and women who commit to a lifetime of peace. They become blessed, and they are blessed. because they're able to look beyond the mundane. They're able to look beyond those things that take place and happen that would justify or give you the capability to cause harm on an individual based on your own preconceived ideas of what peace, harmony, and justice is all about. We must change that. See, our commitment to oneness perhaps provides the greatest possibility for peace in our marriages. There is no single determinant more valuable to success in marriage than peace. Some may say or ask the question, how could you be so bodacious in that statement to say peace is the critical determinant and factor? Well, let me just take a few moments and explain what we mean by that. See, when you have a commitment to peace, first of all, you already know that you are a son or a daughter of God. Because as a peacemaker, you receive favor from the Creator. Because as a peacemaker, when you go in, and even when you may see that your spouse, just like when you see other things in life that are disconnected from what God wants us to understand and to do, you interface in that reality with a level of compassion. You don't go in there with guns blazing. You don't go in there with judgmental ideas, but you go in there with a belief and a hope that God may perhaps use you in a way that's different. See, the problem we have in this execution sometimes is that we are afraid to be the peacemaker. We are afraid to put ourselves on the line. And we are afraid, even in our own relationships, oftentimes we are afraid to an invisible enemy to say to our spouse, I'm sorry. I love you. I was wrong. I missed the mark. I didn't quite understand. And instead, we live in a world where we have convinced ourselves, sometimes from a woman's perspective, sometimes from a man's perspective, is that I have arrived. I don't need to have any feedback from you. I don't need you to make any effort to tell me what I should do in any particular situation. And then because of that, instead of you bringing peace and tranquility to the situation, you bring animosity. You bring anxiety. You bring stress. You bring all of those things that would undermine and cut short the ability for all of us in our relationships to experience the beauty, the goodness, and the broadness of our Father God. And so tonight, when we think about oneness, making peace possible, let's look at it from that perspective. Let's assume that we all are committed to the concept of peace, that we all want to be recipients of peace awards, that we all want to be called sons and daughters of God because we are peacemakers. And when we come back, after a short pause, we want to give you an opportunity to listen and to hear what are some of the examples that we may have available to us in the secular world, but also in our marriages that will show us an indication of how valuable peace is in advancing the status quo, in making sure that whatever we do, that there's an opportunity for it to touch the heart and the mind of so many of those. And let us not forget that part of the peace, even as a spouse, is never forgetting not only our mothers, and truly not forgetting our fathers. We have a day coming up this coming Sunday that's called Father's Day. And for too often, fathers are not given the level of respect that should be given. And we understand why we're in this particular dispensation. And I'm just going to play just a little bit of this song. I won't play all of it. Because at the end of the day, if a man was not part of God's plan, you know, God would have come up with a different way to expand the population of people. But since he didn't, in worst case scenario, we got to get to the point to understanding the fact that it's a man's world. Now, yeah, women are very critical. But at the same time, God put and planted into man something that's so unique and so different that every now and then we got to listen to just a couple of minutes of it. And after a couple of minutes, we won't play the whole thing. We'll be right back, and I'll ask my queen to share some examples of what you yourself can execute if you want to really see oneness, make peace possible.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I don't know if it's just a man's world. Without a woman, it would be impossible for man. But I thank God that We can say it's a man and a woman's world. And if we learn to live in unity, the topic that we're speaking about tonight, we all can have it without any issues or challenges. Because oneness, we understand and know it, it will lead to peace in any type of relationship, any type of relationship. And we know that we all have been involved in quite a few relationships. Jesse, you did such an awesome job preparing us to get to this point where we can all pretty much put it in perspective when we think about various relationships. But before we do that, I just want to speak about a couple of things. When we talk about peace, Webster tells us it's a state of tranquility or quiet, such as a freedom from civil disturbance. It tells us that peace and order were finally restored in the town. It's a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom, a breach of the peace. And then when I think about it and I look more in the biblical terms and I think about what is biblical peace? Biblical peace is more than just the absence of conflict or state of rest. It means completeness or wholeness. And it points to the presence of something else. So when you think about the definition of peace, who in their right minds would not want to be in that state of mind? Because without peace, there's disturbance. Without peace, there's conflict. Without peace, there's trouble in the home. There's trouble along the way, whether it be in the workforce with children or whatever. And so one of the things that we pray for is peace that surpasses all understanding. We don't want just any kind of peace. And you got to understand, in order for this oneness to lead to peace in your various relationships, you can't just assume and say you want just any kind of peace, because the world cannot give you the peace that we know God has the ability to give you. And so when I think about some of the relationships or some of the examples that we may go through, and I look back over all of what God has done for us throughout our lives, and some of us are younger than others, and some have been around the block a little bit more than others, so you've had an opportunity more than likely to experience a lot of various relationships where you had to do your part to make sure that there was peace. But when I think about the relationship, Jesse, between a husband and wife, and I think about how can you increase the peace within your household? How can you have that unity? How can you have that space where you enjoy just being in each other's presence all the time, i.e. like what we did this weekend? And one of the things that I said to you, Jesse, and I know you remember, and, you know, I just thank God, because I know that I'm not the perfect person. I know you're not a perfect person, but we strive for excellence. We try to be better than we were the day before. But I'm reminded of just a short day ago when we departed out of the hotel and we made our way back down to McDonough, Georgia. And we had an opportunity to go into the city of Atlanta, Georgia, to downtown area, Buckhead in particular. And when we were there, we just took it upon ourselves to do whatever we could to have a nice weekend. And so one of the things that I said when we got back home and after the hustle and bustle of getting home and you being surprised with a birthday dinner from your children and Godmama Shelley and her future husband that is soon to be in oneness, one of the things that I said to you when we went and visited Mom and came back and we just had a long day, but a wonderful weekend, I said, you know, Jesse, there was so much peace upon us throughout this entire weekend. There was not one single time that we came in a disagreement of any sort. And for most of you that know us, it's a blessing. Because we have disagreements just like everybody else. But we desire peace that surpasses all understanding. And so when you think about your lives and you think about your choices, because all of us have the ability to make choices to determine what we want to do. So how many of us know that when you go away and you know you still have children in your house and you get an opportunity to go and spend a couple of days to celebrate your spouse's birthday, you know, one of the things, I don't care who you are, if you're married and you're doing it the right way and God is blessing you, and if you're not being blessed in this area, then I encourage you. As a matter of fact, I charge you. You go on your knees, not by yourself, but with your spouse, and you ask God in any possible way, however you are to do it, bring that intimacy back to the forefront of everything you do. And so one of the first things, as an example, would be intimacy. So when you think about intimacy, so many of us go right to that little three-letter word, sex. But intimacy is not just sex. When we think about it, to be intimate, we can be intimate with our spouse by just looking at them in a little googly eyes. We can be intimate with our spouse by just every now and then when you go by them, giving them a hug, or i.e. when Jesse is so kind to always either bring me coffee, bring me food, bring me whatever, when I'm down in my office that I call down in the dungeon, and he always finds himself down here bringing me something, being of service, being loving, to make sure that there remains peace in the house. I give him credit. He usually does his part. But then sometimes when he comes down, I say, baby, before you go, can I just have a little kiss? You know, it's nice outside of the bedroom that you're able to, in your office or walking or wherever you're at, to join hands or to join lips or just to hold each other. That's intimacy. So when I think about it, intimacy, it says, and the man, this is coming out of Galatians 2:25, it said, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That's Genesis 2:24. So one of the things you've got to do is understand intimacy. So there are going to be times when you might not even have sexual relations, but just to get in that bed and be next to each other and be naked to the point where you're just against each other's skin, you bring so much friction to the point where you just want to hold one another. You just want to do everything you can to stay in that mode, to stay in that mood so that you can continue to allow peace. Because how many of us know that when that area of our life is going well, there's peace in the household? So when there's not peace, you can create some peace by meeting each other in that room called the bedroom, called the master bedroom, where you have the ability to have a room that's undefiled for you and your spouse to get whatever issues worked out. And a lot of times if you go to that act, the issues will get worked out on their own. And then at the appropriate time when you know that you could speak about things that won't cause friction, that won't cause disagreements, that won't cause challenges, but you have a more clearer mindset, then that's when you speak about the issues that are going on that still evidently have to be spoken about. So intimacy is so very important in our relationships. And when you think about it, think about Proverbs 3:27. It tells us, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So if God said be fruitful and multiply, well, how many of us that, we're intelligent folks, how many of you know you cannot be fruitful and multiply without being in the act of sexual relations? Let's not get it twisted. And so if you're already to the age where you know you don't want to have any more kids, that's okay, because God said he still made that a good thing. He wants you to make sure that you enjoy it. He wants us to make sure that we have the ability to kiss and be able to be in a loving moment. Because when you think about it, Genesis 2:25 tells us even, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. So we know how intimacy can be so special in everything that we do. And then when I think about it, Jesse, another area that we all have to work on, that we spend so much time, I think about working associates, your coworkers. You know, whether you believe it or not, when you're there on that job, you're on one common goal. You're in oneness to make sure that you get everything accomplished that needs to be accomplished, and you are spending a lot of time with individuals that know you don't have to go home with, but you got to deal with on a regular basis there. One of the things that I encourage you to do when things go wrong and you're trying to keep peace in your office, just be understanding of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, most of us know that scripture without me even saying it, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. See, that's what we need. We don't need the peace of the world or the peace in your office that they think everything is all right, but it's not all right to God's standards. It might be all right to their standards, but we're looking at God's standards. It says, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want the peace of God? So when you're going through some difficulties in your workplace, understand and know that God will give you the ability to be able to bring it all back full circle and allow peace that surpasses all understanding to be in your workplace as well. And so when you think about your workplace and you think about peace, you think about how can I make a difference? Because you know what? Not everybody is going to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not everybody is going to have goodness on their heart. They're not going to come out of Galatians 5, 22, 23, fruit of the Spirit. They're not going to understand what the love, joy, peace, self-control, patience, gentleness, all of those wonderful things that we love to speak about, that it takes a strong man, a strong woman to live by those characteristics. It takes a strong person. And I charge all of us. I encourage all of us. Read that scripture as often as you can to get it in your spirit and in your heart, because then you're able to respond slightly different than other people that might be in your workplace. And trust me, it's not easy, but you can accomplish it. Because remember what the word said, we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. We can't do it by ourselves, but we can do everything that we know that with his help we can get accomplished. And so I'm praying that even in your workplace, that God gives you the ability to be able to go forward and accomplish some great things and be able to be the example when things aren't going the right way. So we're looking at with your husband or your wife in intimacy, we're looking at work associates. Well, let's talk about extended families. Let's talk about especially your siblings. You know, it's up to us when we're together in large gatherings especially. You know, especially after we've moved apart and we've got our own families, we come back together. You know, it's up to us as an individual. This is up to us as mature people. Do we want to be in the presence of our loved ones, whether it's our immediate or extended family members? Do we want to do our part to make sure that there's peace in the family gatherings? I mean, don't get it twisted. There's always opportunities because Satan tries to get in anytime he can to destroy whatever God has put together that's full of greatness. And family is what God wanted us to create. So if God created it, and we know that God wanted us to fulfill what that family unit is, we got to operate in the principles and concepts of what God would want us to do. So when someone does something to you, Jesse spoke about it, talked about that word forgiveness, it don't matter who it is, but we have to have it in our hearts and in our spirits to know what to do and how to do it and to forgive. And so one of the things, John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So don't get in trouble when you're around your family. Just look over some of the little small things that cause you to get upset. Be understanding about everything that God desires in your heart for you to do. Do your part to say, I'm a peacemaker. I'm going to do the things that I need to do to keep peace in everything that I do. And I just pray that God continue to be with all of us in everything that we do in our relationships and in all the other areas of our lives that we want to help make a difference. Think about all of the financial management, the value systems, and everything else that we deal with on a regular basis that we can even use as examples. But I can go on and on and on. And because of sake of time, I can't. But I just pray that God continues to show us the way, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us be all that we can be. I pray that he will continue, that he will allow us to use John 16:33 to be what we use. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But how many of you know if it's in God that we have peace? Well, we got to have God in us. We got to know what the word of God tells us to do so that we can operate in peace at all times. Not as the world gives you, but he says, as I read earlier, that he gives it to us the way he wants us to have it. And if it's the way he wants us to have it, we got to do some kind of study. We got to understand exactly what it is that we must do in order to have the peace. So I'll read John 16:33. Again, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but of good cheer. I have overcome, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So if God has already overcome it, and if we are a part of his kingdom, and we're going by his actual word of God, which we know God is, you know, is love, and he's the word, and if we have all of that on our side, how many of us know we have no choice but to operate in peace all the time? But we have some decisions to make. We have choices to make throughout the day. And I just pray and I hope that as spouses, that you'll come together and do your part to make sure that you don't sweat the small things, that you do everything in your power to support one another, to make sure that when you come home of an evening, there's peace. That when you're in the workplace, that you're doing your part, that when you go into the workplace each and every day, because we spend so much time there, that you're able to be a peacemaker to keep it all together in your office, because all of us have probably been there where we know without peace in the office, there's challenges all around the office. And when there's challenges all around the office, it's not a good place to go in every day and be a part of that environment. And then last but not least, as I spoke about family, family is key, immediate and extended. Do your part, get along, love on each other, support each other, call each other, go visit each other, and keep that family unit together. Jesse, I say all this in the name of Jesus and ask that God continue to bless others under the sound of my voice, that they continue to bring their examples of how they can help make a difference in their circles, in their inner life, in the things they're doing to be able to operate in peace and be able to have oneness and understand that it will lead to peace in all relationships, no matter what. God bless you.
Well, amen. Let the church say amen once again to your commitment to oneness. We'll provide the greatest possibility for peace in your marriage or whatever relationship you may have. There is no single determinant more valuable to success than peace. None. See, as we think about what to do as we leave this place tonight in the concept of peace, as we said earlier, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. So look for peace and not war. Look for peace. Be a peacemaker. In Matthew 5:9, we find these words, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters, the children of God. There is a valuable reality associated with peacemakers. And when we're able to be committed to the process and the concept of peace, we are truly identified as the sons and daughters of God. Nothing can be more valuable than that. We need to edify for peace. Filled words, meaning that when we speak something, let us be guilty in our relationships, in our marriage, in our engagements. Let us be guilty of speaking words of edification. But there's nothing that brings peace more dramatically and more conclusively than words of edification. That's why we are taught and told that it only takes one negative to erase 10 positives. And so that's why we need to constantly reinforce that which we desire. Give your spouse the benefit of the doubt. We live in a world today where too often than not, we'll focus on finding fault. We'll focus on finding something that's not right. Why don't you invest that same level of time in finding something that is right and something that's not wrong? We invest too much time on the wrong side. Look for something that your spouse has done well or your fiancé and make comment on that. Look for and seek agreeable solutions. We've got this thing, this imaginary, illusionary situation that takes place that for some reason we think that if we don't have 100% agreement, then something is wrong with the relationship. Nothing could be further from the truth. You are expected to have a level of animosity, a level of disagreement as you begin to merge two people together. You were not born under the same roof. You didn't have the same kind of experiences. Even if it may appear that you did, there are differences that you must be able to identify and differentiate. My wife and I both was brought up in some similar situations, but there are so many that are different. And once we are able to recognize those differences, then we're able to recognize why we may have a difference of opinion. That's what oneness and peace can do for you. Look for agreeable ways to get things done after those solutions. And by all means, be angry, but sin not. The word has told us very clearly, there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's a human emotion. The thing is, we must learn how to control it with an element of this thing called peace. Remember, peace. If we can come to the point to where we understand and recognize the value of peace, even in those areas where we may see something from a different perspective, we still can find peace. Father, we pray tonight that everyone that's been able, Father, to hear anything that was uttered, any oracle from your people, that, Father, they're able to go out and use it to their advantage. And part of that advantage may simply be loving another brother and another sister. We thank you tonight for peace, because the world truly needs more peace. And, Father, we pray that as Minister Leah Killers come on tonight, that those that are dialed back in at 9 o'clock will be able to hear another word from the Father. We give you glory. We give you honor tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers, have a happy Father's Day this coming week. My sisters, honor your fathers and your brothers. Let it not be such a great discrepancy between Mama's Day and Father's Day. Until next week, peace and love.
Agape love.